For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
Hey family, this is Chandra Bettner Gray, and I'm back with another episode of This Legal Light of Mine. And I think I deserve a round of applause because this is the second recording in this week. Late, yeah, but I said I might do it, and here I am. So I'm so excited. Go ahead and clap for me, clap for me. All right. So I had a whole lot of things on my mind, but this past week, like I said before, I think we celebrated Mark's birthday. And let me just tell you how I did something absolutely crazy and bought him a car. Now, I know on the outside, it might sound like, oh, you ballin', you could just go get a car. Let me tell you how I did not think that it was even possible. And yeah, in my heart, I wanted to get him a car, but I just didn't, you know, like looking at all the numbers and calculating this and that and everything. I'm like, yeah, no, it sounds like a great idea, but that ain't an idea that I can make happen. So the other night, Friday of last week, I was telling my brother, you know, Mark's party is coming up. It would be so dope if I could give him a car, because he's been talking about wanting like a muscle car. He had this particular car in mind, or type of car. And so I was looking at a whole lot of different ones. But I kind of knew what he wanted and what I wanted to gift him. So I was sharing it with my brother, and I was saying to him, you know, it's impossible. It's no way I can make that happen. And I showed him a picture of one I had found online. And you know what he said? He was like, why not? And just that phrase, he's like, why not? Like, I don't know, John, I think you can do it. It opened my mind up to like all of these possibilities, because I was telling myself, no, it's not possible. It can't happen. And I basically just poo-pooed my own thoughts and dreams and crushed them before they could even have a chance to manifest. And he said words that gave my dream or hope opportunity. And, you know, we hear people say, especially in the church, that the power of life and death is in the tongue and the things that we say and the things that we proclaim. And I actually got to see that manifest over this past weekend. So literally, I had this conversation with my brother on Friday. Because of what he said, I was like, oh, well, maybe it could happen. I got up early, I went to my office and I started doing like some paperwork, some legwork. I called the place to see if the car was still there. I told them that I had some sort of a pre-approval. I don't know if they could use it, blah, 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 so on and so forth. The lady's like, yeah, give me your information. I'll give you a call back if there's like, essentially, if there's a chance. So I'm like, fine. I gave her my information over the phone and I continued to do what I was doing, which I think was recording at the time. So I finished recording. I printed out some games and things for his party. I really like let myself think about something else and not be stressed about it, and kind of like put out the information, put out the request, and sat back to let God do whatever he was going to do. Within probably an hour and a half, I get a text from her. I'm trying to call you. I can't get through. I think I can get you approved. Give me a call. So I'm like, okay. My son was there with me, and I looked at him like with the big eyes, like the looking eyes, like, no way. Let me call them and see what they're saying. So I call and I speak to the lady, and she says, yeah, we're able to get you approved. Send me over your income docs, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we'll get it started. So I said, okay, good. I hang up. I go to gather up my documents to send over by, fax or scan or something. And she sends me another text. Don't even worry about it. We got you fully approved. Come and get the car. I mean, that's impossible. I don't even know how this happens, but it did. So within an hour from that phone call, I got up, told Mark, I don't know what I told him I was doing. I think I told him I was going to show a house or something. Got in the car with my oldest son and we drove down there. And sure enough, the car was washed up, ready to go. She said, it's yours. Come sign these papers. I looked over like all of the details, and we had spoken about some of the details, like what the payments were and all that stuff. So don't think that I, you know, didn't take any thought into what we were taking on financially. We certainly did, or at least I did, and now he's thinking about that. but went down there, signed those papers. They gave me the key. Now this car, sports car, is a 6-speed, and I know how to drive stick, but I haven't in a year. So when I tell you my heart was racing, because I had to drive it home, I mean, well, first of all, before even driving, my heart raced the whole drive down there. It was like a 45-minute drive away from where I live. I'm like, this is crazy. I can't believe I'm doing this. This is crazy. It's not going to work. What if it doesn't work? What if I can't drive? What if, like, you know, every kind of thought. But I'm like, even though I'm anxious and I'm worried and I'm not quite sure, I'm stepping out in faith. I'm just going to do it. She said, come, it's ready, and I'm going. And so I did. I signed the papers, and I'm telling you, all the way until I sat my backside in that car and came out of first gear, I was like, is this real? I couldn't even believe it. So we got it up here to where I live, and we actually, not to the house, we found somewhere else. We took it to my church, and then one of my son's friends who drives a stick picked it up, took it to the place where we were having the having dinner at the restaurant. And when Mark and I arrived, I asked all of the guests who had already beat us to the restaurant to come outside, and I gave him the presentation of his beautiful sports car. And I was overwhelmed, heart completely racing out of my chest. When I watched back the video, I'm like, oh my God, why didn't I shut up? I just kept talking and just saying stuff. But all of my anxiety and all of my nerves was coming out, because here this thing that I had imagined like 24 hours before and had told myself was impossible had actually happened, and I had my hands on it, and I just couldn't believe it. So he was so excited. Everybody was excited, and you know, folks were clapping for him and for me and just saying like, oh wow, what a wife. And I'm thinking like, if you only knew what it took to get here and how I thought it was impossible, you wouldn't be clapping for me or Mark. You'd be clapping for the Lord, because child, only he could have done it. So anyway, Mark has his new Dodge Challenger. It is a lime green in color. Right now he's calling it the Green Hornet, but I don't know if I'm feeling that name. So I'm trying to be inspired and give him some new name for it. So if you have a recommendation, won't you email it to us at thislegallight@gmail.com, and maybe we can come up with a better name for our lime green, his lime green Dodge Challenger throwback looking car. It's the bomb, y'all. Okay. So the lesson in all of that is we have something to do with the outcomes in our lives with regard to what we're saying and what we're believing and what is coming out of our mouth, especially. And, you know, if we have a tendency to be negative and complaining all of the time, and we actually make our mind up through the things that we recite. And I guess at some point in my life, you know, I had heard that growing up all the time. I had an auntie that always made us profess things over ourselves and say, you know, I'm smarter than the average person, and I'm blessed and I'm favored. And we laughed about it. We thought it was a joke. But now as an adult, and I'm really reflecting on this, I recognize that we begin to believe the things that we say. And we really can, like, of course we're not God, but there's something about manifesting, or things manifesting, that we say out of our mouth. So if we're always calling ourselves dumb or demeaning our physical appearance and all of that, we begin to walk out self-fulfilling prophecies based on what we're saying. And, you know, I wanted to take this episode to encourage us to use our words to bring life to something good. Use our words to, we talked about this in the prior episode, to encourage somebody else, but not just somebody else, to encourage ourselves. Speak life to ourselves. Like the old song said, encourage yourself. You know, we have a choice in what we say. We have a choice in our perspective. And that's funny, because at this party that we gave for Mark, there was somebody in the room who was just a negative Nancy. And for no reason, and it was, the party wasn't about this person, but every single thing that happened, they had a negative comment. Oh, well, why are you doing that? Oh, why are you playing that? Why we got to do a game? Why this? Why that? And, you know, some folks at the end of the party wanted to talk to me about why was that person saying this and saying that? And you said, and you know what? I just said, I heard it, but I decided not to take it in. And in retort to the negativity, I spoke words of love and family and encouragement to my husband, whose birthday it was, and just told him how much, every chance I could with my words and with my actions, even in that dinner, to tell him how much we loved him, how he was honored, and how we don't take the 50 years that God has given him for granted. We just don't. It's a gift. And now, let me just say, because I've had these conversations with Mark as he was approaching this 50th birthday, and there was this battle between whether, now I'm speaking as if I'm him, whether I'm going to complain about getting older, or whether I'm going to use words that speak life about the fact that there's so many people that didn't get to see 50. And that it is a gift that God has given him and us as a couple and this world, really. We have a say in how our outlook is, right? Look at J-Lo at 50 at the Super Bowl, doing whatever, wearing like the skimpiest little thing, looking fabulous. I mean, oh, I just hit the table, sorry. Or you can be, you know, the 50-year-old sitting at home, oohing and ouching about every little pain that you may feel, or you acknowledging that your body is aging. It is what it is. And we need to learn how to accept what is allowed into our lives, or what we bring into our lives, with gratefulness, and for our knee-jerk reaction to not be negativity and complaining, but for it to be words of affirmation, words of thanksgiving, and receiving the blessing of the Lord. And even when things aren't great, my sister April told this illustration, and of course I can't remember the whole illustration, but basically the overarching point of the story was that there was a gentleman who lived through the most horrible things and the most wonderful things. And his response at every outcome, whether good or whether bad, was, it's good. It's really good. And at the end of the story, the thing that seemed like the most horrible occurrence was the thing that saved his life on the back end. And even the thing that didn't feel so good at the moment turned out to be good. Really good. And so the way we look at what happens in our life can really make the difference. And we don't need to be negative Nancys. We can be the folks that, you know, make the difference with our words. Like my brother, who said, why not? Like my dad, when I told him as a single mom with four kids and no money and everything looking a daggone mess that I wanted to go to law school. And he said, go for it. And there were other people, believe me, who were like, oh, girl, no, it's no way. How are you going to be able to take care of your kids? How are you going to be able to pay your bills? I had a guy tell me, oh, yeah, I went to law school and it was too hard, so I quit. You know, I don't recommend it. Well, thank goodness I didn't listen to that. And thank goodness there was someone in my life who was willing to say, why not? Go for it. And I think we should endeavor to be those sort of folks for somebody else and even for ourselves. So with that, let's transition to the next segment. Okay, so let's move on for some real tea on real tea. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but I thought about the fact that we're discussing how what we say and what we believe can and will make a difference in our outcomes in our lives. And when it comes to real estate, one of the things, and I talked about this, I think, in an earlier episode, that in home ownership in general has declined, but home ownership in the Black and Brown communities have declined even more steeply. And so, yes, there are efforts to bring that number up. And my understanding is in the last year or so, it has risen, but there's still an incredible gap between some of the more majority communities and the African-American, Black, Brown, Hispanic communities. And I think one of the things is this very issue is that we, in large part, tend to tell ourselves we can't do that or that's outside of what's possible for us. And again, if you're telling yourself that over and over again, you will believe it. And when you believe it, you don't even try to make the first steps. And you know, the thing about people saying no to you is that it is no different than your inaction, right? Except that you're moving forward. So what I mean is the outcome would be the same. So if you don't try and make an application to a mortgage or speak to a real estate agent or step out in faith and start looking, because you're afraid that on the end, you're not going to get approved, you're not going to be able to get it. And then you end up, say the worst case scenario happens and you don't get anything that you made the effort to get. Okay, fine. You're in the same position as you were if you did nothing. Except that you made the effort, you stepped out in faith. And when that door is closed after you begin to move in faith, it's much more clear that it's God saying, wait, or not now, then it's you getting in your own way. Because for all you know, God could be saying, yes, okay, it's time. You know, the walls in your house or your apartment or your condo feel like they're closing in around you because it's time for me to transition you to the next place, to home ownership, to give you stability and help you build wealth and give your family a place that they can always call home. But because you have convinced yourself and you've talked to yourself out of the blessing of the Lord, you don't even try. The Bible says that we have not because we don't ask. We don't ask God. We tell ourselves, essentially, we think of ourselves as God and we decide what the answer is going to be. And in these life changing decisions that we're making with regard to whether we want to gain property, if we can purchase something that we feel like is outside of our means, we need to be talking to the Lord. We need to be increasing our time with Him, relying on Him to guide our footsteps and to not be overcome with fear all the time. Fear just, you know, pours out of our pores instead of faith. And it's got to be one over the other. And we have to make a decision as believers that it's going to be faith over fear, that we want to put our foot on the neck of fear every day. And that's one of the things I think it's our natural inclination is to be afraid, is to think things are impossible, is to defeat ourselves before we even try. And so that means that we have to make a conscious effort to do what doesn't come natural, which is to walk in a supernatural faith. And because it doesn't come natural and because our faith is a gift, we have to go to the maker, go to the giver of the gift to ask Him to help increase it in us, to seek Him, to hear His word, to read it, to recite it in affirmations. My sister was saying this to me because one of the things I struggle with is fear and anxiety, which is obviously why it comes up over and over again. But what I recognize is that I'm not the only one, because when I have these conversations with other people in my community, really people of faith and not people of faith, but especially those of us who believe, this is an ongoing issue that we have to decide. I'm not going to succumb to this. I'm not going to let the tendency toward fear and anxiety stop me from going where God has for me to go. And she was telling me that I need to be saying affirmations. Now, like I mentioned, my auntie before, she's been telling me this my whole life. But, you know, sometimes it takes another person, a third party, to reiterate what you already know. And so I've been trying to gather up some affirmations to speak over myself, my home, my household, my health, even my building in Mount Holly, my business, not just the building, but the building for protection and believing God for what he's going to do, what he's going to use that place for. It isn't just another building in the town to just, you know, be just like every other building, but it is a place where the anointing will flow. And even though clients are coming to get representation, they won't even know why when they step in the building, they just feel different. They just feel like when they walk out, a burden was lifted and I haven't even done anything yet because it's not me. And because this will be another place where the Spirit of the Lord will dwell and reign and make change. And these are things that I choose to affirm over my business, over the building that we occupy, over my home. And we can do the same thing. And then stand in faith, believing that we're going to see the manifestation of it. So I just wanted to encourage you, and as I'm encouraging you, encourage myself, that there is power in what we say. And as we speak it, we believe it. And there's power in what we believe. In believing before we see it, and then before we know it, as we're walking, speaking, believing in faith, it manifests. So I'm just hoping that you hear that. And if this is God saying to you, it's time to make your application. See if you can purchase that home. See if you can get qualified. And guess what? Most times with lenders, if they say not now, they give you instructions for what you should do to put yourself in the best position for when it is time. So in any case, you don't lose heart. You have more information. You're empowered to get ready to go to where God has for you to go. Okay? So that's it on Realty on Realty. The next segment is being brought to you by my law firm, Bettner Gray Law Office in Mount Holly, New Jersey. You can find us on the web at www.bettnergraylaw.com. We're also on Facebook at Bettner Gray Law and on Instagram. So I hope you'll check us out, like us, follow us, all of that good stuff. And if you're in need of estate planning or real estate representation, or if you're a landlord who needs assistance with all of your duties and responsibilities, you should call us as well. Our number is 609-479-1227 and schedule your consultation. I'd be very happy to sit with you, go over your legal matter, and see if we might be able to work together. So let's get into Die Right. Normally, we talk about estate planning or ways in which we can build a legacy for ourselves that will last for our children and generations to come in this segment, so that we live away with purpose, so that we die in the right way. But today, since we're talking about things that we say and our outlook on life, I was thinking about the scripture that says laughter is like medicine, and I came across the perfect joke. So I'm going to read the joke and then you're going to laugh. Okay. So those are our roles. I read the joke, I get to the punchline, and you laugh. Okay. So here's the joke. Morris dies suddenly soon after his 70th birthday. 2 months later, his family is sitting around the desk of his attorney for the reading of the will. The attorney thanks all of them for coming and then reads out Morris's last will and testament. I, Morris Williams, being of sound mind, making the following gifts. To my beautiful, sweet wife, Rena, I leave my house, my Manhattan apartment, and $1 million in cash. Enjoy, darling. To my handsome and hardworking son, Paul, I leave my Lexus and $800,000 in cash. Keep up the good work, Paul. And to my gorgeous and clever daughter, Shantae, I leave my Jaguar and $500,000 in cash. I love you, darling. And to my brother, Joe, who always told me in no uncertain terms that health is so much more important than wealth, I leave my exercise bike and treadmill. <Ba-dum-bum>. So now you laugh, right? Okay. So that's the joke for the day. And even though it's funny, we absolutely, I mean, we probably don't, maybe we don't have a million or several hundred thousand to gift. I'm saying though, if we're investing right, we just might. But no matter what we have, we want to leave it the right way so that we can die the right way. So that's it for this episode, for that segment. So let me just remind you, you can send us questions so that we can do asked and answered. Nobody has sent many questions. I had like one or two, but come on, send us some questions, and you can do so at thislegallight@gmail.com. And if they are appropriate questions, we will answer them in one of our segments, either the Realty on Realty or the Dive Right segment. So again, that's thislegallight@gmail.com. You can also follow me on the web at Chandra Bettner Gray or at Bettner Gray Law Office, like I mentioned in our promo. And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I realize I forgot to pray for you guys in the prior episode, so I don't want to forget to do that again. So here we go. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. And we thank you for your promises that we can stand upon. And we ask you to remind us that we don't have to rely on our own strength, our own strategies, our own abilities, but that we can rely on you. And when we're feeling like things are impossible, remind us that we have you on our side and we have your spirit that lives inside of us, making things that are naturally impossible, possible. That you open doors that nobody, no man, no circumstance can open. And in the likewise, you also close doors that need to be closed. Help us to see that and to understand that. We thank you so much for this time that we got to sit and talk together. I ask for your blessing over anyone who chooses to listen, God. And I ask for increase in their lives and in mine. We give you all of the glory and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening. I'll catch you on the next episode.